This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
Bring them out. Oh, God. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shane, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Tuesday morning with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch our show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. And we come in with some baseball angst, Cap and I. Both of our teams lose, and on top of that, Cap, you've got a little taste of Chicago, what it's going to be like on the expressway coming into Chicago. You got a little taste of it this morning. Congratulations.
Yeah, I've had some listeners tweeting at me some different routes. Our boss, Danny Zetterman, he leaves after I do. Holy bleep. Mm-hmm. Folks, that construction's no joke. So make sure you find an alternate route. Maybe we get Danny and Keith to order up a helicopter for the morning.
How about like a Cap Skyway? Just a nice route from where you're coming from, over the top of everyone else, boom, right into downtown. Your own ramp.
That'd be great.
I think that's what you need, like the Jetsons.
That's it. I just need a George Jetson car.
Yes. And by the way, Elon Musk, thank you so much. Everything that you've done for Twitter, everything that you've done for Tesla, where is my flying car for Cap? That's what we were. We were promised the flying car. Where's the flying car so my guy can be able to fly into the sky, no problem, right into State Lake, bam, right into the garage, right?
Correct.
Where is it?
And I woke up surly about my baseball team.
Yes.
I watched both games yesterday. I watched the national championship. We'll get to all of it. David Ross had a really bad night. I like David. I do. He had a really bad night. Sunday, you take Jameson Taillon out after 63 pitches. And they're in the ballgame. It's 3-2. Nope, he didn't have his best stuff. We're going to go to the bullpen. Four innings. See you later. Last night, Shea had better stuff than Drew Smyly from pitch one.
Mm-hmm.
He was terrible. No command, no velocity. He's just getting battered around. Oh, Cubs come back. First of all, they were up 3-0. Blow the lead. 3-3 after an inning. Good for those of us that had the over. And it's 6-4 Cubs. Two outs, two on. I'm like, would you please take him out? Can we go to Keegan Thompson? He's warm. Well, there's a lefty up. You probably don't want. I don't care if he throws between his legs with his third member. I don't care. He's better than what was on the mound. Bam! Three-run home run, Cubs lose. On top of it, and I like Boog and JD very much.
Sure.
But I'm going to critique what I hear. First and second, nobody out in the seventh, down a run. Wisdom up. You're asking him to bunt. Okay. You need to get the tying run over.
Mm-hmm.
He hit two home runs the day before.
Yes.
Might want to let him swing away. But, okay, you're going to bunt. He can't get a bunt down. Pops it back to the pitcher. And I hear JD go, well, it's tough. He's not a guy that bunts all the time. You're a GD Major League Baseball player. If you cannot be asked to put a bunt down, and you're not Albert Pujols, this isn't Mike Trout here. It's Patrick Wisdom. If you can't get a bunt down, that's embarrassing enough. You got Nick Madrigal doing nothing, sitting on the bench. You got a staff of 13 pitchers sitting there doing nothing. Tell me that pitchers don't learn to bunt? Yes, they do, because they can't hit anymore. Either put a bunt down or put someone in who can. So David Ross, you, my friend, had a terrible night.
I would agree that whether it's a fly out or the miss of the bunt, it's still poor execution. Now, in that spot, I'm probably having wisdom swing away. As I was watching the game on monitor 2 yesterday, I'm probably having swing away because he's your power guy. But if you want to play fundamental baseball and you want to move the runners up, wisdom has to be able to get that bunt down.
Has to
be able to do that. It's just, and again, in that spot, I'm not taking wisdom out for Madrigal, but Madrigal would get that bunt down.
No doubt about it.
Short guy that could be able to get the ball down.
He's the contact guy.
Absolutely. So you're not removing wisdom, but you've got to be able to execute some way, somehow in that situation. And it did not happen. What I was confused by is Smiley staying in the game so long.
Dude, he threw 93 pitches. 93. Well, let's have some consistency, David. Sunday, Tyone's a better pitcher.
Yes.
Okay, you're done. 63 pitch outing, you're done. You didn't have your best stuff. Okay, it's one start. You let this dude who sucked from pitch one, first inning, it's 3-0 Cubs on a Bellinger homer. 3-3 spits it right back.
Yep.
Come on now. We got to be better than that.
Yeah.
I was ticked. And then I watched the White Sox game. Yeah. The hood came. You're blood pressure to be going through the roof.
Yeah, I want you to hold my beer just for a second, because if you think you had angst, be a White Sox fan and plop down in the hood cave, sit on the couch, all right, opening day, and all of a sudden, Michael Kopech allows 7 earned runs, 8 hits through 4 2/3, home run after home run after home run. I'm saying my first inclination is he tipping his pitches or is he just this bad? Now, we already know that he's got good stuff, but again, if it has no movement, this is what it looks like. The Giants are not some juggernaut. It's almost like they were reading the mail of Kopech yesterday as I was watching that game. And of course, when you have the house that the White Sox had at Guaranteed Rate, that just makes everyone sour. It's opening day. People take the day off, standing in line, trying to be able to enjoy a ball game. They finally get into their seats, and they see that crap yesterday. Time after time, home run after home run. It became a joke after a while. At the first couple, you thought, okay, Cap, those are solo shots. The Sox have enough to be able to get back in the ball game. Nothing. Laid down for the Giants yesterday. That was so disappointing, especially this early in the season. I'm a White Sox fan watching this. And again, you're going to win and lose games, but the way they lost yesterday is horrible. Horrible. You split against Houston, so you take your hat off. Like, okay, you competed well against the champs. And then you take on the Giants, and then that happens. That is just horrible to watch yesterday, as many home runs that were surrendered by Kopech. To make me think, Cap, could we see a scenario in which we say Kopech, well, I mean, he's good, but what about the starter we saw yesterday, or the day before yesterday, for the Sox?
That was Clevinger.
Makes me think Clevinger had a much better outing and was way more consistent than we saw from Kopech yesterday.
And Luis Robert made a catch over the fence again.
Yes.
Dude, that would have been the 8th home run that they hit.
Yeah.
If he doesn't make just a sensational play.
He's on his way to a gold glove.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's on his way.
Agreed.
You talk about star power. We talk about pillars a lot on this show. Robert's definitely one of those guys.
Oh, my goodness. I had angst from both baseball teams, especially my Cubs. Really bothered me. Poor managing, poor pitching, can't get a bunt down. Like, what are we doing here?
Then Shea and Jay Moore at the game yesterday to see the White Sox. So you finally got into the game, huh? They finally let you in?
Well, this mobile ticketing stuff, and I don't know if it's the White Sox or if it's Major League Baseball or what, but it is an absolute disaster. You take the mobile ticket that you get off Ticketmaster or whatever app that Major League Baseball puts it through. You put it in your wallet, in your iPhone, so that if you can't get a connection, because God knows, when you get to any ballpark in this country, your cell phone connection goes through the window. Mm-hmm. Forget about it.
Yeah.
And you walk up with the ticket in your wallet, and they hold the reader to it,
yep.
And it doesn't work. And then they start going, and Jay Moore and I are standing there, we're showing the ticket, and she's going, you have to pull the one up with the barcode. Well, the point of putting it in the wallet was so that I could get it without the cell phone connection.
Yes.
It doesn't have the barcode in the wallet. You're telling me now I got to sit here and wait for my Ticketmaster website to load on my phone so that I can show you a stupid-ass barcode. What was the point of putting it in the wallet? The mobile ticketing, I got to tell you, physical tickets were way better.
And then the crazy thing about it is another gentleman came up and had the same device as the young lady, and he scanned our tickets. So maybe she was doing something wrong.
Brett and I went to the Bulls game on Sunday. Yeah. We had our tickets in my Apple wallet on the phone.
Yeah.
There was no barcode, and they were able to scan them.
See? Random.
It was a smooth process at the United Center.
That's the problem. If you're at another gate at the United Center, maybe the one you were at worked. If you're at another gate, the barcode reader's not working, or the no barcode reader's not working, the scanner, whatever they use for the wallet ticket, it's not working, so you have to get the barcode out. The inconsistency leads to what we see, people waiting 30 minutes to get into the ballpark.
See, you and your fancy Dan technology. Just give me the paper ticket and get out of there.
Do you know how much money they save not printing tickets?
You know why I don't care as a fan?
I don't care.
You're making money hand over fist, Major League Baseball, or the White Sox. I'll take the paper ticket. You know why? Not just because it's more convenient. It's because if I want to keep that ticket stub, I can keep it and put it in my album.
You're killing too many trees.
I don't care about the trees.
Wow!
I don't care about the trees, pal. I don't. I wake up in the morning like, the trees. There's one been saved today. I don't give a damn about that. I like the convenience. Here you go, pal. Ticket.
You know what?
It's right into the ballpark.
I have a question for Brooks Boyer, and he listens to the show every day. He's a very loyal, good dude. Brooks, if my friend Jonathan Hood, my friend Shane Orling, my friend Jay Moore, if they go to a White Sox game, just a random game on a Tuesday night, today's Tuesday, and while they're there, the guy throws a perfect game. They only have the mobile ticket. They're like, damn it, I wish I had a paper ticket to display. Is there like a process where they can go on the White Sox website and buy a ticket for $5 or whatever? Hey, here's a commemorative ticket with your seat on it that they can have that they could then put in one of those Lucite things. I was at the perfect game.
Right.
Here's my ticket.
Right.
What are you going to do? Go, I got to show you. It's on my phone. No.
Yes.
So that's a question. Brooks Boyer, please text me.
You can't take that to Tom Morgan and say, how much is this worth? I don't know. It's on your phone.
Right.
Well, I mean, this is the ticket for the
your
perfect game.
Your iPhone's got a crack in the screen. It's not worth a lot. No,
exactly.
Not the phone. The ticket.
Exactly, Cap. That's why it should be an option. There should be an option. Imagine if Jay Moore and Shea went to the game with paper tickets. All right. Thank you.
You know, right.
And right to the ballpark. But again, this fancy technology, you got to have it on a screen. You got to make sure the barcode, enough. Then you wonder why you got long lines up the ass trying to get into a ballpark, whether it's guaranteed or rate or anywhere else. That doesn't make sense to me. I like the idea of having the old school paper ticket trees. They'll grow some more. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. Yes, it's April, Cap, but again, you're going to win games and lose games, but you don't want to, from Ross's standpoint, give the game away. Or on the other side, as a Sox fan, watching Kopech just give it up time and time again to the Giants. Opening day, and that's what you come up with, 12-3? I'm sure there'll be better days ahead. Coming up next, will this NCAA tournament, the championship game, will this be memorable? We'll talk about the tournament yesterday. Coming up next, Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Checkmate 1-6, suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Still to come, we'll hear from our guy Albert Breer, as we do every Tuesday at 8:35 with the latest on the Bears in the NFL. But now it's time for Shot or No Shot. Brought to you by
Club Hawthorne, the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. It's Derby season, baby. Lots of great races leading into the Triple Crown races. You can also use their sports betting at the Points Bet Sportsbook. We say good morning to Shane Orling.
Good morning. Whoa, hold on. You threw me off a little bit. full name there, Hoodie. You catch that? First and last.
Keep him guessing.
No
always.
Snore bore, no snorling today. Kaplan showing a little respect for his youth here.
And applause for respect. Wow. I respect your name because it's a strong name in the business.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That really threw me for a loop. Yeah. I was so used to hearing snorling there.
All right, what do we have for Shot or No Shot on a Tuesday edition?
Let's start with this. USA Today's For the Win released post-free agency NFL power rankings this morning, mm-hmm. and the Bears have made some significant improvement from last year. Anywhere would be up from 32. They still brought up the rear for the NFC North, though, at 21. Three spots ahead were the Aaron Rodgers-less Packers at 18. Mm-hmm. Shot or no shot? Even without Rodgers, the Packers are better than the Bears.
That is a shot. The Packers are better than the Bears. Organizational standpoint, even without Rodgers, is still their weapons still on that team, both sides of the football. So that is a shot.
Yes, that is a shot for me as well. The Bears have not addressed right tackle. They have not addressed their defensive line hardly at all. They need another corner. Yeah, and Justin, I love him. I'm in his corner. I have been from day one. Doesn't mean anything if he doesn't prove that he can take the next step. Yes, the Bears are the worst team in the NFC North this morning.
Yes, and the hope is, and again, this is not hate. People hear what they want to hear. I couldn't care less. You're not going to change City Hall. What I'm saying is, Cap, is that you just have to be able to bear with the process. However this is going to materialize, you have to bear with the process. The process is they say they want to do this the right way. No shortcuts. And we've seen what a shortcut looks like at House Hall before. Jam in these free agents, these overpriced free agents. Let's see if we can get a one-off here. Nope. They want sustained success.
Correct.
So I totally get it.
And they're building it. They believe the right way. I hope they're right.
By the way, Shay, very underrated For the Win. It's always got a little nugget, a little morsel every now and then. Kansas City is one on that list. Cincinnati, 2. Philly, 3. Buffalo, 4. Cowboys, 5 on that list we're talking about.
Yeah, the headline there was the Cowboys won March, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's interesting. So, For the Win, a little bit of the USA Today. But that top. So the Bears are not that far off. At least they're not where Tampa is on the bottom of this list.
And nobody wants to be where Tampa is. That's a painful rebuild that they're about to embark on.
It's very good. All right, what else do we have?
Quickly, before we get to the tournament, I want to ask again about the Bears. According to Adam Johns and Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic, the reason Poles made the trade for the number one pick to trade it away when he did mm-hmm. was he interviewed all of the quarterbacks, and he said he knew if those guys interviewed really well, teams at that moment are going to be more motivated to get something done sooner rather than later. Shot or no shot, this was the payoff of doing his due diligence.
That's a shot.
Yeah, that's a shot.
Absolutely, it's a shot.
That's a shot.
Mm-hmm.
There are others in the game who would have held the pick longer. There are others mm-hmm. who think he did the right thing moving it when he did. The article also goes on to say where David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, does not think they paid that high a price. Now, I think they did. That's a huge price. If you hit on the quarterback, no one cares. Hey, we got our franchise quarterback. I'm not sure that there is one of those guys in this draft or not. We'll find out.
You know, if you're Carolina, Cap, you still, it's similar to the Bears, you got to figure out who you are because you got to try to reimagine that team as well.
Mm-hmm.
You trying to win right away? No. Does anybody in Carolina really care in that Charlotte market? Not as much as, say, Chicago, New York, or Dallas, New Orleans, you know, teams like Miami, teams like that. So if you're Charlotte, you do have a little bit of a grace period if you're the Carolina Panthers because you got to find your quarterback that you want. You still got to be able to mold that thing. Now, who's the next wide receiver now that DJ Moore is gone? So I just think that they have time, too. They're probably trying to do it the right way also. So you probably feel like, okay, we're good. We're not going to win this year anyway.
What number did they have Carolina at?
I don't remember. Let me see if I can pull this up again. Hoodie, were you still looking at it?
On that list?
Yeah.
Gotta go through it.
Because I know everyone around here thinks the Panthers are going to be the worst team in the NFL. If they won their last game last year, they won the division.
32 was the Texans.
So, okay, the Texans. Okay.
We're 32.
And the Panthers are 23rd on this list.
23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Yeah. So they'll get the quarterback that they want. They feel like, okay, well, we got to find a wide receiver. Same thing the Bears are going through. I mean,
they're in a bad division.
This is post-Cam. You're still trying to figure out who you are.
Right.
Still. I mean, this is how important the quarterback position is.
Just don't forget that team with Sam Darnold. If they win their last game, they're in the playoffs as a division champ. So everyone who assumes they're going to be horrible, I'm not so sure about that. We'll see. I hope.
Shay.
All right, boys. The NCAA tournament crowned a champion in UConn, and that, of course, means one thing. Mm. We all got to hear One Shining Moment. That wonderful, wonderful song.
Ah.
This fantastic.
Feels like an old pair of slippers, Cap.
I was fast asleep.
Nice and comfortable. When you hear that, you know it's the end of college basketball season. It's fantastic.
You see the highlights, the heartbreak.
The ball is ticked.
Hey.
And you hear this. And I have an opinion about this song, and I know it's going to send you two through the roof. Shot or no shot, this song blows.
No shot. I love this.
No shot.
It's awesome. Yep. Phenomenal. I've got, I don't know, 10 of them on my iPad from years past.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest. No. Awesome.
It's not. And again, the reason why is because the original came from Luther Vandross. Now, we'll turn now to Jay Moore with more on Luther Vandross. Now, Jay Moore, when we talk about Luther Vandross, again, in the community, in many communities, he still resonates because of his great music over the years. And I just think that that's the reason why it's still great. Now, when these others come out and try to sing it, that's a little bit of a different story.
Very different. Luther definitely is a staple when it comes down to this particular song, as well as the stuff that he's put out on his own. A lot of people don't know he was a producer as well as a songwriter.
See? So that's why it always be close to me, because Luther Vandross is singing it.
Well, plus, that's fine. Luther Vandross is great, but the song is so overrated.
Disagree. Disagree.
Who's rating it?
Me.
Okay, well, then it's fairly rated then.
Yeah.
It's you.
100%.
I got a funny story about
and
this.
And that was Luther Vandross who sang this year as well. He does every year.
Well, they have like multiple versions.
Yes.
So, like I said, Teddy Pendergrass did one, and
so
I think Dean Martin's on one. It's just a lot of different people.
I've never heard the other ones other than Luther Vandross.
Did you say Dean Martin?
Yeah, it's a lot of about
that. Sinatra's got his one shining moment out there.
Hey, the ball is tipped, and there you are. The tuxedo ties off, collar wide open.
That's it.
Hey, who's in my room? The ball's tipped, and there you are. It's like, that's good. Dean Martin with the grape juice, pretending like he's drunk, stumbling down while he's trying to sing it. Ball is tipped. There you are. Ladies and gentlemen, Lucille Ball. What? You're not drunk.
That song is, I love that song. Go ahead, Shay.
I can't stand. I have to tell you, when I was at the Big Ten tournament, I was sitting next to the great Dion Miller, and she asked me about March Madness and One Shining Moment. We were talking about some of the ancillary parts of the tournament, and I said to her, I hate One Shining Moment. I think it's terrible. It's one of my least favorite songs. I just don't like it. That's my thing. And she says to me that it was her dance with her dad at her wedding.
Yeah,
she danced to One Shining Moment. I'm sitting here telling the great Dion Miller, One Shining Moment sucks. And she goes, I danced to it with my father at my wedding.
This guy, you're so out of touch.
See, there you go.
So out of touch.
I'm going to put it on the poll question, on the ESPN 1000 poll. If One Shining Moment's overrated.
See that? I mean, he just can't help himself but just spewing takes.
Yeah.
He just can't just be a guy and just enjoy the game. I hate One Shining Moment. Well, me and my father had a touching moment. Kind of a jag.
No, a real jag.
Yeah.
And you know they have a version with Neo. They have a version with Jennifer Hudson in 2010. So it's a lot of these versions. Yeah, she has one.
Neo doing one.
Neo did one in 2016.
Who's that?
He's an artist. R&B
artist. Yeah, I was very surprised. And Jennifer Hudson. I don't want to hear that.
We're going to get the game featuring Ludacris. One shining moment.
There it is.
Hey. One shining moment. Yeah. I would love to hear that. Absolutely. Man, that's good stuff. So you got all these different. Luther, the original from Vandross, is the best.
The best.
These other
so
people.
So good.
So funny.
Yeah.
All right, Shay.
All right, the First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, issued an invitation to the White House to the LSU Tigers after their women's team won the national championship. Joe Biden also suggested an invite to Iowa for, quote, playing a good game. Shot or no shot, this is a joke.
Yeah, that might be the we don't talk politics on this show. We won't. That might be one of the dumbest things she's ever said. Oh, that team that got their ass kicked by 17. Let's invite them to the White House. No, they lost. They don't get the invite. Sorry.
I understand that she wants to bring the teams together, because even the losing team is supposed to get a participation trophy in this era, in this generation. But she's got to understand sports and the tradition of the White House, and that is the winning team gets celebrated. If they want to come, they are celebrated, not the losing team.
Yeah, Kim Mulkey issued a statement yesterday. We're in. That would be an honor, and we'd like to be there.
Yeah.
So
she does. I don't think that Dr. Biden understands the tradition of teams. You've never seen a losing team coming in there. She's trying to bring everybody together. Like, you know what? You played hard too. No, that's not how it works.
Correct.
It's never worked that way.
Correct.
So someone needs to explain to Dr. Biden, like, that's not what we do here. We celebrate the winning team.
And Angel Reese, the young lady from LSU,
yeah,
who everyone was mad at, Angel Reese retweeted the comment from Dr. Jill Biden with three laughing emojis.
Yes.
She also tweeted that they're not coming.
Who said that?
Angel Reese.
Oh, because her coach came out and said, we will be there.
Yeah, well, you know. She's not coming.
When you got that NIL money, you can do whatever you want. Right. Go there, not go there.
I think you go. I don't care who it is.
I would agree.
It's the office of the president, and it's a tradition. I think you go.
If you're a team person, you should just go. It's not about who's in the White House as much as it is, hey, our teammates are going. We're going to take this great picture. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because we won the championship together. Why should I separate myself because I have a problem traveling, or I've got a problem with who's in the chair? That makes no sense.
Correct. Just celebrate with your teammates and move on.
It's more so about the Iowa thing. Iowa coming as well. I think that was more so about that.
Oh, yeah. If Iowa was there, it's a different thing then.
Yeah, that's what it was about.
Yeah. But that's not going to happen.
Great.
That's not going to happen.
Agreed.
All right, coming up, we will go around the National Football League. And don't forget Albert Breer coming up at 8:35. Cap'n Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports.
You're listening to Cap'n Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Catman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap'n Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
What Bert is it?
Our guy Albert Breer is with us every Tuesday at 8:35 right here on ESPN 1000, and he is on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Good morning, Albert. How are you?
What's up, guys?
What's up, man? First and foremost, let's talk about something that Cap and I talked about earlier regarding tickets. Do you remember the days where you can be able to just go right up to a game and just put in your ticket? So, you know, Shay and Jaymore, our producers, we go to the Sox game, and they're having problems having their ticket scan, right, Cap? They're just trying to on their phone.
Correct. They can't pull it up. The Wi-Fi's not great, whatever the case may be. When you were going to games like at Ohio State, if there was something magical that happened, you always had that little keepsake, your ticket, right? You save your press passes?
Yeah. I can remember. It's funny because I got a buddy who's like an expert. I don't know if you guys have a friend like this, but I got a couple buddies who are like experts at sneaking into games to the point where they almost do it for sport now.
Seat weasels.
You know, like literally, and I'm not even kidding when I say this, for the Notre Dame game in September, like my one buddy gave his ticket away to somebody else because he wanted to sneak in. I remember running into this. You know, I was worried about it, like, because the Wi-Fi is so bad around Ohio Stadium that you sort of worry about, like, is this going to work or is that going to work? I don't know if I've ever really had a problem with it. I mean, I remember when I went to the Alabama-Ohio State game, You know, they only had electronic tickets. This was for the one in Miami. You know, the COVID national championship game where there were only like 14,000 people there. And I really wanted a ticket stub. And the Dolphins had helped me with the tickets. I was like, is there any way I get like an actual ticket? And they're like, no, we only do electronic tickets. So, yeah, it's like, I guess I definitely have felt that way. Like, I don't want to get there and then all of a sudden be like, you know, like the Wi-Fi doesn't work or something doesn't quite work and I can't get in. And we actually ran into that too with my, my wife. We bought like 8 tickets for Taylor Swift in May for her and some other people. Uh-oh. And 3 of them were going to like a buddy of mine's son and his girlfriend. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like legitimately like took like 3 or 4 phone calls for me to figure out how to transfer those tickets. And like even now, like the tickets are still sitting in my wife's Apple wallet, which is weird. You know what I mean? Like, so
yes,
I don't know. It's just, there's all kinds of stuff that, you know, like I kind of feel like, do you guys feel like the paper tickets were better?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? They're better because if I go see a perfect game, I've got that ticket. I can save that forever. If I can't go to a memorabilia shop with my phone, like, hey, I was at this perfect game. Yeah, but it's on your cracked screen. I can't see this. Yeah. Is that worth anything? So, yeah, it's weird.
I mean, I feel like they should, like, give you an option. Like, if you, especially with, like, what tickets cost these days, they should at least give you an option to have a printed ticket.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, now, like, we got our doors blown off by Alabama 2 years ago, so, like, I didn't want the ticket anymore when it was over.
Right.
But, like, if we had won, like, I have, like, if you guys have seen my backdrop, you know, in my office, like, I got 2 Ohio State covers, like, on the back, like, behind me. And one's the national championship game, which has the ticket stub from that in 14 against Oregon when we won the national title that year. And the other one has Maurice Clarett running over Michigan. And I have a ticket stub from that on there. And I was sort of like, if we won the national championship, I want to add to that, but I don't have a ticket stub to go with it, you know? But obviously that didn't become a problem because we got blown out. So,
right.
So there you have it.
Don't have to worry about it. All right, so let's talk about the Bears. Jalen Carter was here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep looking at this list of players. They've got a ton of needs. And they're taking, I think, a slower approach to the rebuild. That's why I don't think the 23 season will be, you know, some revelation. I do think 24-25 is where they're shooting for. Is Nolan Smith moving up draft boards? Is he moving down? Because I love that dude. That guy intrigues me a lot.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I would say the Jalen Carter thing's really interesting just because, like, I think there's a chance he's there for the Bears at 9. I think it's an interesting strategy Drew Rosenhaus is taking and not having him visit teams outside the top 10. Drew, as you remember, was Warren Sapp's agent 28 years ago when Sapp fell in the draft. You hear Carter's case compared to Sapp a lot. Sapp actually did wind up falling out of the top 10, went 12th overall to Tampa. We all know how that turned out. So I think Carter's the best player in the draft. I think it's going to be sort of how comfortable you are with who he is as a person. It's going to determine where he goes. Nolan Smith's interesting just because he's, you know, the comps you hear on him, like, he's smaller. And so, like, he's not going to fit everybody, right? And I think with him, it's more a question of how do you plan on fitting him in your defense on, like, a 3-down basis, right? Because you're definitely going to be able to get 3rd-down value from him. He can rush the passer. He's obviously wildly athletic and all the rest of it. It's just how do you use him on the other 2 downs, you know? And I think different teams are going to value him differently because of that. Now going into, you know, I know everybody had them in their mocks, right? Like, like in the first round, like coming out of the college season. When I was talking to teams about it, like, you know, in January, February, it was more like, he's probably like somewhere around the 50th pick, you know? And then, you know, he runs the 40 that he ran at the combine, and I think that adjusts some things. So, look, I know fans are just, you know, like drool when they look at the ability for a guy to get after the passer and the athleticism and everything else. You know, the problem is with a guy like that, does he become a liability in the other parts of the game? And I think that's something the teams are just, you know, I think having to wrap their arms around right now, where for some teams, like, there's going to be a home for Nolan Smith as a 3-down defender. For other teams, they might just look at him as a nickel pass rusher.
Flex scheduling on Thursday nights, and also the latest on Lamar Jackson with Albert Breer next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Albert Breer with us every Tuesday on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. Albert, you've been all over this on Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com regarding Thursday night flexing. So what is the latest on this? And we see there's a couple of teams, the Broncos and Panthers, abstain when it came to the votes. So what's the latest on this? How likely will this happen?
You know, I think that there's a pretty healthy divide in how all this is going to go, how all this went last week. And I think one thing that's really notable is the actual teams that are against it. It's a lot of brand name legacy franchises with families that have been in the league forever. The Giants, the Bears, the Packers, the Steelers, like, and I just, you know, I sort of look at this and like, yes, they were very close to having this be a yes vote. You know, 'cause they had the two teams abstaining with the two newest owners and the Panthers and Broncos. But I do think that there's part of this where like the families that have been in the league forever are saying, when is enough enough? Like, when are we going to get to the point where everything is not just about like the almighty dollar? And, you know, the part of the issue is the amount of notice that teams are getting here. Part of the issue is like what this would do to contending teams at the end of the year. So I think what you're going to see, and this would be my guess, I think we're going to get a very real tell when the schedule comes out. And just pay attention to weeks 14 through 17. And if you see the Cowboys and the Steelers and the Packers, if you see teams like that in those weeks, that means they're probably going to back off flexing for this year. And if they do decide to flex, my guess would be it might be limited to 2 weeks. And if they can get the notice worked out with CBS and Fox, then maybe that would be part of it too. But you know, I do think that there was a lot more pushback than I think Roger expected, and the pushback was coming from some pretty powerful people. And so, you know, I don't think that this is one of those things that's just, all right, well, you know, like, let's like adjust a few things and rubber stamp it in May. I think it's still very, very up in the air.
Amazon, it has to wait their turn. I'm sorry, man. Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. You know, here's the problem, okay? So a big part of the problem here is the NFL had a real problem offloading Thursday Night Football, right? Like, they had a real problem finding somebody to bid on the rights. Fox didn't want it anymore. And, like, so, like, there weren't – I mean, Amazon sort of saved them in getting the price that they wanted for Thursday Night Football. The other thing is they really had trouble selling Sunday Ticket, and YouTube sort of saved them there, right? So I think they thought that there was going to be like this, like, great enthusiasm from the streaming partners to get involved, and it just wasn't there this time around. So for the NFL, and I think this is what some of the most powerful people in the league would tell you, it's very important for the NFL to have streaming partners involved, because we know that's where all this is going, right? And so I think for the people who are advocates of this, of bending over backwards to make this work for Amazon, they'll tell you, this isn't about appeasing Amazon so much as it is the NFL itself needs this to be a needle mover for Amazon. So the other streaming services see that. And remember, like, NBC and Fox and CBS, they need the NFL, right? Like, the over-the-air networks, they need the NFL. Mm-hmm. The streaming services really don't, if you think about it. You know what I mean? Like, the streaming services are doing just fine. And so, like, I think it's like one of those things where it's really important to the league for this to be a needle mover for Amazon to motivate the other streaming services to get involved in this. And, you know, like, so I think that's sort of where the battle is being fought right now.
Before we let you go, I want to know about the Aaron Rodgers deal, when this gets done, A. B, do you believe the Packers are still a contender in the NFC North, or are they the worst team in the division?
That's a good question. The second question is a good one. I'll get to that in a second. I think it could get done any time between now and the draft. And I know that's vague, but I think they're close enough. The relationships there are good enough where this really could happen. Like, tomorrow, and it might happen Thursday night of draft, because it's really it's going to take approval from a lot of different people. And I think it's like about the details now and the deal and how all that's going to work out. I think for some people it's about how this looks. You know, I think for the Packers there's a PR element of it. You know, for the Jets too, of course. So I think it gets done by the draft, and I think, you know, we're in a window now where it could happen tomorrow, it could happen 20 days from now. As for where this leaves the Packers, they still have a really talented roster, Cap. You know, I don't know. Like, I always felt like, you know, like 2 years ago, I really felt like that was like one of the most talented rosters that Rodgers has ever played on. You know, and they had the injuries last year, but and the issue at receiver. But, you know, if Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs come along like the Packers think they will, you know, you add that to, you know, an offensive line that still's got David Bakhtiari and Elkin Jenkins on it, Aaron Jones in the backfield, Rashawn Gary and Jair Alexander, and I mean, like a really talented defense. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I look at it like I don't think they're going to win 13, 14 games like they were a couple years ago, but do I think that this is a team that could contend to get in the playoffs? I certainly do. So, like, I don't think that they're going to be the number one seed in the NFC or anything like that. But, you know, in a team that has, you know, at least two other teams in Detroit, Minnesota that should be contending for the playoffs, and we'll see what happens with the Bears. I'd put the Packers right in there as a team that should be in it into December and January.
Albert, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a good week.
Albert Breer, our guy.
Albert Breer from SI.com and Monday Morning Quarterback with us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
So I think we've always known this, Cap, but we got to say it out loud, the quiet part out loud, and that is that the NFL couldn't care less about the athlete. Couldn't care less about how violent this sport is. Just get out there and play.
Correct.
Because money's on the line. Because the idea that, and Albert's done this tremendously, SI.com, Monday Morning Quarterback, and Shay mentioned it earlier, talking about the flex schedule for Thursday Night Football. Well, wait a minute now. You busted your ass on Sunday, and because the Al Michaels and Amazon is bitching about the matchup, now you got to try to put the best games on Thursday night. Let me just tell you something about Thursday night. Thursday night is not Thursday night as it used to be. Thursday night, prime time. It used to be called must-see TV Thursday, right?
Correct.
Got to have your Seinfeld. Got to get your Cosby Show, your Cheers, Family Ties, your Frasier. You know, during those times where you had to put your best shows on Thursday because that was a prime time. You got to put it on there on Thursday nights. Thursday night football is a meh to me because of the matchups and because if the Bears are not playing, Cap, can I just get the night off of Thursday night football? I think I can. Those matchups over the years have not been. Can you give me that great classic Thursday night game? Can you come up with one, that classic Thursday night
no,
game?
No, I can't. There may be some competitive games, but the matchup wasn't that compelling most of the time.
On Amazon.
Albert made a great point. They rode in and saved the NFL, and the NFL owes them something. They absolutely do.
Because nobody wanted Thursday night football because Thursday
night's... Not at that price.
Well, understood. But just the tradition is that if you are a newbie, you get what we give you. So you can't take away from CBS and Fox and ESPN. You can't take away from that.
When they ride in and pay you the money that you're asking and no one else is, they have more juice to demand more.
If I'm one of the networks, though, I'm pretty pissed off because it's like, how much does Fox pay for that product? NBC pay for that project? That's saying we both agree that NBC has the best coverage of them all in the NFL. That Sunday night game, you have to watch it. You have to see it because the pregame, the halftime, the game itself, the post, it's perfect.
It's great. It's awesome.
Stands alone on NBC.
But I guarantee you when Bezos sat down and said, how many billion you want? Okay, here's the deal. I'm not at the back of the line or I'm not doing it. And the NFL had to say, okay.
Flex scheduling, though, for the good. And by the way, you can ask for that, but you know how this works, Cap. We're going to flex you in, and then the game is crap because they played on Sunday, and then you want them to be at a high level on Thursday, and the player's not used to that. The body can't recover that quickly.
Agreed, but I don't think Amazon's execs care.
No, that's the point.
As long as they get the eyeballs.
Yes, that's the point. The NFL, Amazon, they couldn't care less. They just want to have the money and the people watching.
And a friend of mine who's in the TV business texted me, and he said, the one thing that Nielsen has not been able to figure out is streaming numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are, like, every night, I got a game. If I don't want to go in the basement where I have multiple TVs, I want to be up with my wife, I have my iPad streaming a game while I have another game on the TV. The streaming numbers are very tough to measure.
Yeah.
So
I just, I guess my bottom line of it, Cap, is that, and we've always known this, but we have to say, they couldn't care less. They could not care less about the athlete than a recovery.
Right in the check.
How it feels like they're in a series of car accidents playing in the NFL. And it's like, yeah, I know you played Sunday. Get back out there Thursday and give me a good game.
Correct.
Sorry.
Correct.
So I just,
because we're signing a big deal.
It's amazing.
Agreed.
The Bears met with Jalen Carter. We talk about that in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.